you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been discussing the organization of the church. By the way, I just received a call from Oxnard PD, just to let you know. They sent me an alert. Apparently, they found a man, a dead body of a man who is in a donation bin, like where you would put clothes and stuff. He was in the donation bin, and they asked if I would check with all the ladies if they could prove where their husband is. That's a true story. But I thought, when I saw that, I thought, that's a great one. I'll ask all the ladies, can you prove where your husband is right now? Huh? He's right beside you? All right. I just want to make sure. Yeah. You were. I figured maybe some wife was donating the guy to another woman that could have him for her husband. I didn't know. Anyway. All right. Let's get back. I've given all these ladies an idea. They're going to grab their husband and throw him in the donation bin. We've been talking about the church and that God set forth an organization for the church. Did you know that? God has given gifted offices to the church to help it do its work. Of course, we haven't gotten to what its work is. That's coming up in this chapter. And we found out that the first thing God gave was apostles to help his church. But now you discovered something. There are no apostles today. Now you know why. Because apostles had to be two things. They had to have been with Jesus in his ministry. Can you name anybody today that's lived that long? Two, they had to be witnesses of the physical resurrection of Jesus. So therefore, today, no one should call themselves apostles. And if they do, they have no idea what they're doing. But that doesn't matter. Since when do people in the church care about what the Word says? That's what's wrong with God's church today. Next, we went and we said God gave another gifted office, and that's prophet. And we asked ourselves, are there prophets today? And the answer that I give is no. Well, why would you say that? Well, every time I see some of these guys that say they're prophets on TV, they always get it wrong. I've had people predict, they were predicting last year that an asteroid would fall into the ocean in Puerto Rico. Churches were prophesying that there would be an asteroid in Puerto Rico fall into the ocean. Did you hear about that? Some church prophet did that, and they got it wrong. Guess what the Bible says when prophets do that and get it wrong? Well, under the old covenant, they stoned them. Under the new covenant, the Bible says, get them out of your church. So I don't know of one prophet that could claim 100%. So I believe that God will revive the gift, because in Revelation 11, it says that there are going to be these witnesses of these two prophets, and they're going to get killed. And that's another sign of a real prophet of God. If you're a real prophet of God, they're going to what to you? They're going to kill you. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, all you do is stone the prophets that are sent to you. So I'm a practical cessationist. If you claim to be a prophet and you start prophesying, and something that you say or something that you predict ain't right, get out. Can you imagine what the church would have been like if a bunch of prophets got up, started saying things, and then didn't get it right? Do you realize how much chaos would be in God's church? If you really have the Spirit of God, the gift of prophecy on you, you will never get it wrong. Then we had evangelists. Well, I believe there are evangelists today because that means church planner. And then really what we have actively in the church today is the thing that we're talking about in the last couple of weeks, pastor and teacher. We discovered something so important that the word pastor is the same office as elder and overseer. So pastor is an elder, is an overseer. So we discovered another fraud that's going on today in God's church. You think there's only one pastor in a church. That's the guy that gets up in front and you call him pastor. Actually, the elders of a church, all the elders of the church are pastors, or shepherds is another word for pastor. All the pastors, all the elders are pastors, overseers, and shepherds. These are three terms for the one office. That means this. How many elders do you have in your church? Here. How many? So how many pastors do you have? How many elders do you have? How many overseers do you have? That makes 18. No, that's one office. So where did we get you from, you crazy preacher? That's what they call you in the South, is preacher, when I was there, because that means you're filled with hot air. That's what they meant by that. Probably were, too. Well, there's been a perpetrated fraud. People don't preach the Word of God. So churches now have one man, the Lone Ranger, who does everything. And you know why the church gets nowhere? Because the Lone Ranger never got anywhere. He was all alone. Every elder in the church is a pastor. Every elder in the church is an overseer. Every pastor in the church is... It's all the same term for the same person, and we have six of them. So where did we get you from, Dave? Well, I'm a teaching elder. Let me show you where Paul talks about this. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. And the reason why churches are in bad shape is we don't follow the biblical teaching on who's to be in charge of the church, if there is such a thing as in charge. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at what? Preaching and teaching. Now, so technically, what's the difference with me and other elders? Well, that's what they've asked me to do. Preach and teach. By the way, do you know what the difference between preaching and teaching is? Have you ever thought about that? You call me a preacher. You call me a teacher. What's the difference between preaching and teaching? Come on, that's what we do here. You, as Christians, should know this. But if you listen to these TV preachers, you're not going to know this. What's the difference between preaching and teaching? What about, I'm preaching right now, but I'm also teaching. There really is no difference. Preaching looks at the fact that the teacher must proclaim. Teaching looks at the fact that he better have something that's biblical to say. But what do preachers do today? They make you feel good. Give me a poem, Dave. Tell me how good I am. And I've told you what's happened with me, and I'll be honest with you, people in my church have left and said, well, Dave doesn't make me feel good about myself. That's not my job. My job is to go through the Word step by step, line by line, and proclaim or preach the content, teach what the Bible says. And that's why the charge against the church is so heinous and true. Bunch of hypocrites that don't know what in the wide world they're doing, because Churches do not do this anymore. Very rare is the church that will stick to God's word. Everybody in a church carries a Bible, yes? But no one looks at it. This is a cycle. This, you know what a perpetrated fraud psychological operation is? Here is what these guys do on television. They hold a Bible and then they tell you their opinion. I don't give a rip what their opinion is. I want to know what the Word says. So here's how they do it. They wear a suit and tie, which immediately conveys to you a psychological operation of that they are authoritative. And then they hold the scripture and then tell you poems and nice stories. And you think they've told you something that's true. If I depart as a preacher from the teaching of God's word, I have no authority. Blow me off. You should blow off 99.99% of preachers today because they don't preach from the text of Scripture. Now you found out something shocking. Only one office really is active in the church today. Pastor, teacher. Well, Dave, where did we get bishop? I've seen these guys in these uniforms. Perpetrated fraud. The King James called the word elder or overseer, a bishop. And then they took and separated the word bishop from overseer, and it's not. It's just another. The word bishop is a name for overseer, which is a name for the pastor teacher. It's all the one office, but they separated them into a separate bishop and then put this idiot bishop over pastors when it's all one office. The word bishop is just a King Jamesy way of saying overseer. Now you know that there are no such things as bishops as you viewed them. They made it up. Church history is a fraud. The only thing worse than politics. Do you know what I tell my guys at the seminary? The only thing worse than politics. You know what that is? Religion. Then they call them cardinals, which is higher than a bishop. Where'd they get the word cardinal from? They made it up. What do the people do? Okay. And then, you know what I love? The Roman Catholics, oh, how dare you, pastor, mention names. The Roman Catholics told people, you can't read the Word of God. For 1,000 years, Roman Catholics said, you need the priest, the bishop, the cardinal, to tell you what it says. And then if anybody tried to get the Word of God into their own language, do you know what the church did to them? And that includes Protestant churches too. You know what they did to them? Burned them. Religious people are? For those of you who are visiting, you notice my congregation knows the answer to that. They would burn them if you wanted the Word of God in your own language. Why? Because if you discovered what the Word said, you'll find out that these religious authorities are perpetrating fraud. And that's why we've got to stick to the Word. Because it's the Word that we have to follow. But why do these churches do all these things that are so contrary to the Word of God? You ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? The guy gets up on the top, Topol gets up on the top, and he goes, tradition! And there is where they get all this stuff. They make it up, and that's called, when we make it up, it's called tradition. So they've made it all up. So there are only one office, pastor, teacher, that's to govern God's people. And that's it. And by the way, when we read this morning at the beginning, we read one Lord, one faith. What do you think God thinks of all these denominations? I'll tell you what I think God thinks. He says religious people are nuts. Now you see, how many churches are there in Oxnard? How many different denominations in Oxnard? Wait, the Bible tells me one Lord, one faith, one, a unity, and what do we have in the church? Disunity. Well, who do you think's behind unity? What does the Bible say? If there is unity in a church, who's behind it? God's Spirit. If there is disunity in a church, who do you think's behind it? So don't tell me that all these denominations, God is behind it. All these denominations are because how would you, if you were the devil, weaken God's church? Divide and conquer. Eddie, you're exactly right. That's what's happened. I'm going to tell you again because I think it's the most ridiculous example. Churches split over the weirdest things. I've told you there was one group of the Christians that split over whether you dunk someone three times when you baptism or one time. Religious people are. How many things divide us? It's because we're not being taught well. And so last week we went into, can anybody be an elder, overseer, pastor of a church? Can anybody? Or do they have to have certain qualifications? Huh? We have to have qualifications. Where do you find the qualifications for a pastor, elder, overseer? Where was it? Huh? Three. What were those qualifications? They didn't have to have a wife. If they do, they get one. Above reproach, what else? Sober. Self-controlled, hospitable, not what? Not violent. I've been in churches where elders got into fights. I was one time when I was getting my last degree, as I've told you, there was a new breaking news: a Baptist church in Fort Worth, one of the elders or deacons brought in a gun and shot one of the other ones. That looks good for a church. Somebody, because you know what, most of the time at churches, do you know who they put in charge of churches? Businessmen. You now know that elder, overseer, pastors, they're not primarily businessmen. They're spiritual overseers of God's church. They better walk the walk. What other qualifications? Able to teach. What else? So, not a lover of money. Now let me just show you something that you may not know. For most of the time, you've heard of these churches where they read names of people from the pulpit when they do things wrong. Winnie will remember that. She was in the Plymouth Brethren. They used to do that, huh, Winnie? Read the names? Well, you notice, let me show you another perpetrated fraud that elders have done. Elders will read the names of the people when the people do something naughty. But do you know, stay with me in 1 Timothy 5 where we said, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching in verse 17. And then it says in verse 18 of chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, don't muzzle the ox. Are you there? Have you looked in your Bible? Then it says this, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three what? And you now know from what I've taught that the witness has to actually see what sin you're going to accuse an elder of. But let me show you what the next verse says, just to shock you. Those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all. Now, did you know what that said? He's not talking about you. Those who continue in sin refers to the previous verse. Who is he talking about in the previous verse? A what? So when's the last time you were in a church in which an elder's name was called out in the pulpit as doing something that he shouldn't be doing? Ooh, I got some silent. Pastor Dave, I've never seen that. The elders are always calling out whom? The people. But here it says in 1 Timothy, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest may be fearful. So guess what? The elder is to be rebuked publicly. Boy, am I setting myself up. Boy, am I setting myself up. But that's biblical. So if an elder does something that isn't according to those qualifications, you go to him privately. We've discussed this in Bible study. You should be in our Bible study. You have to go to the elder privately first to win the person. But if they say, forget you, then you bring it to the church. And then if the elder continues in sin, you have to have some of the other elders get up and publicly call out the elder for his sin. How many have ever heard? How many have never heard that before? Raise your hand if you've never heard this before. You know why? Why, elders don't want you to know those kind of things. They want to call you out, because there's nothing. Only thing worse than politics is what? Paul says an elder, if he's in sin, needs to be what? Rebuked publicly, but go privately first. Church discipline. So that means don't come to the elders, everybody, and you say, brother such and such or sister so and so, we want you to confront someone. Because the Bible says in Matthew 18, you have to go privately to someone first. Try to solve it there first. But if an elder does continue in sin, of course, then you better know what sin is. If you see an elder, if you see Pastor Dave coming out of the movie theater after watching Alien Covenant, the Bible doesn't say that going to a movie is sin. If I get back from Vegas, it's only gambling if I lose. So be careful. The elder has to be in what? Sin. And you better know what sin is first. There's so many little rules. I told you about my mom. You don't go swimming on Sunday. Sunday's the Sabbath. Remember that one? And so I hurt myself. Ah, ha, 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 she said, you went swimming on the Sabbath. That's why you got hurt. That wasn't a sin. There is no Sabbath for a Christian. I just was klutzy. You laugh at me like that. So there it is. So ladies and gentlemen, you now know the qualifications for elders. You now know that if an elder's in sin, you can call him out. It's okay. It means us elders need to be afraid. You cannot lead people without that. And you know the qualifications now. So let's go back to Ephesians 5. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have a charge against an elder, you better know it's sin. And you better have your facts straight. And you better be a witness. Don't play with this lightly, or you'll be church disciplined. Now, what are they to do? What are pastor teachers to do? Well, they're to go around acting like they're in charge of everything. No. Look what it says here in verse 12. For the equipping of the saints. Do you see that word equipping? That's what elders do. Elders equip the saints. What does the word equip mean? Well, Paul uses a term that gives us an idea of what he means. They found out where I was. Paul says the job of an elder is to equip the saints. So what does that mean? Well, Paul tells us by what the word he uses. It means to build a ship. To get it ready to set sail. So the elders are equippers, builders, fitters of ships. In other words, we have to be trainers of the saints so they know what to believe and they know what to do as people in the church. Elders are equippers. They're to know the Word of God and what we're to do as a church so that the church is prepared, just like you'd get a ship ready. Ever seen those show? I've watched it a few times where they go up into the Bering Strait and they earn mucho dinero, a lot of money for fishing. You know, and they're in the, like this, they're brave. And they catch those crabs and the ice waves come over. I don't know why I was talking about that. Why was I talking about that? Ship, you know? That's it. But I lost the train of my thought for where I was going. They get everything ready. They put the ice in the ship. They teach the guys how to make everything they need. And they go out and they catch. So what's the job of elder, overseer, pastor? To equip, teach, prepare, help saints. It's not the elder's job to balance the budget. That's not their primary task. Although that's good, because I can't even keep track of a check. I'm just an idiot when it comes to stuff like this. Some of the guys are better at it than I am. Trust me. So they're to equip the saint so that the saint knows what to do. You're a part of the ship. And the elder has to equip. Now look at the next clause. To equip the saints for the work of the... Now there's another shot. The elders are to equip, train, prepare God's people so that God's people can do the work of the service. And that's why churches get nothing done. Because there's one man who's called the pastor. The other guys are not recognized the way they should be biblically. All elders are pastors, overseers. It's all one thing. And they have one guy doing all of the service. When actually the elders are to equip, train, get the saints ready so that, are you ready? The saints do the work of the service. But what do we do today in church? Look at the chairs. Most people think their role as a Christian is to come to church, sit, sing, pray, and leave. And that's why the church doesn't do well. Because you know what happens when the clergy gets power? It's like a drug. It's like opium. They get the power, and then they don't want you to be involved because they would lose their power. They like the power of the office, so they don't want to share in what happens. This is how the devil operates. So they get the preacher to always want the power and never share when it says that the elders are to train, equip, get the people ready so that the people do the work of the service. I don't see many churches rigged that way. There's this one guy. He controls it all, does it all, and everybody else just sits. And that's not the way it was to be. It was to be where everybody, it's what they used to call, a modern term for it is body life, where everybody in the church is equipped by the elders to do something so that the church can effectively glorify Jesus. So let me ask you, what would you like to do in our church? How can we as elders equip you? And what would you like to do in our church? Because you want to be, how many want to be biblical at our church? You're all, I don't trust him. It's good, don't trust preachers. What work of the service would you like to do? Because for anybody in the church to just sit and let the preacher do all the talking and do all the other stuff, that's not how it was to be, because that's not the way God's church will do things. It was for the people to do the work of the service. What would you like to do? What would you like to do? Have you thought of what you'd like to do? Because Peter says it's the priesthood of how many believers? Now, some of you do things. I know that. Some of our people do good things. Cheryl does the ladies' ministry, and I know if I mention Cheryl and not Wanda and not Linda, and then somebody's going to come up to me. This is why I don't mention names, because they're going to come up to me afterward and say, Pastor Dave, you forgot sister or brother so-and-so. So we do have people that do things. The ladies do the thing, but there are some of you, what do you want to do? What's the work of the service going to be for you? Because that's where the Bible says the elders are to equip you for the work of what service you want to do so that we can be an efficient church. So what would you like to do? How about a choir? Some of you have been in the choir. Help lead worship. Have been doing things. But I know that the usual rule is 10% of the population of a congregation does 90% of the work. Oh, now Dave, you start to meddle and you get no wonder they don't like preacher. So what do you want to do? Huh? No, you got to do something within the body. Be a light. You're not going to light yourself, put gasoline on it. No? Okay. What do you want to do for the work of the service? Well, now that I've got you at that point, I'm going to leave you till next week when we'll talk about this further. So I want you to think this week not only about how much you hate me for this sermon, but what you want to do in servicing the church. And how you could help the church, local church here, in its ministry.